It's so good to see us here together, this room filled with all of us coming to celebrate not a new year, but to celebrate Jesus. We are thankful for a new year, thankful that our earth has rotated around the sun one more time. Maybe next year we'll be back and celebrate going around the sun again. But I am amazed every single year I hear people say on yesterday, the end of the year, let's put this year behind us. Hope the next year is so much better. But every year we hear it, right? I mean, it's just repetitive. And yet, for some reason, in all people, there's a desire and anxious excitement that somehow a new year will be uniquely different. Sometimes we look back at the good old days and we say, you know, I wish we could just go way back. And those good old days for some of us are at a different point than for others. But even the good old days, in reality, weren't really that good. Remember what the preacher said as he began in Ecclesiastes? This is what the preacher said. What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It's been already in the ages before us. We may see some new technology. We may see a new iPhone. We may see a new kind of computer. But the things that really matter, relationships and people and nations and peace and socioeconomic issues, they just seem to keep revolving in a circle. But we as Christians can fill a room like this because we know that that's not all there is, right? Amen. We know that we are not just revolving around the sun and the same thing is going to happen over and over and over again. I'd like us to spend a few minutes this morning meditating, letting these words soak into us as we start 2023. From Revelation chapter 21, the very backs of your Bibles, if you're using one in the seat in front of you, it's either page 1041 or page 1233. I wish we had all the same Bibles there, but one is a large print and one is not. So, Revelation 21, second to last chapter. And as we look at these verses, don't just think, well, that's someday. Because this can be today in our hearts. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. The sea in Hebrew thought was always a place of uncertainty and danger and chaos. The sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Not just 2022 has passed away. All the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. I am making all things new. It's going to be a beautiful day when we're in heaven. A beautiful day when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. But it's not just waiting for there. Did you hear those last words? To the thirsty, he will do what? He will give from the spring of water of life without payment. That takes us back to Jesus' words to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus said, the water I have to give you, if you drink of it, you will never thirst again. So my question is, as we enter this new calendar year, what is it that we are thirsty for? What is it that the Lord has promised us would quench our thirst? You know, at Christmas time and over the holidays, we drink a lot of different drinks, and I've put a few varieties up here. I don't know what you like, Coca-Cola or orange or Gatorade. This is my son's. He has batches of them in our house. Or sparkling juice. I don't know what it is that you want to drink. But water, simple water, is what our bodies desperately need. And not just any kind of water. It's the water of life. The water that Jesus stood with that woman whose life was torn apart in ways that nobody but her fully understood, except for Jesus, who was speaking to her. And he said, if you would take the water I offer to you, you will never thirst again. God, seated on his throne, says to the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life, and that without payment. Nothing we have to pay. We have just celebrated at the Lord's table. The payment has been made. Jesus has sacrificed his life. And unexplainable, unestimable cost to our salvation. Jesus' perfect life laid down for us. The payment has been paid in full. Nothing remains for us. But what is it that we're thirsting for? We can be thirsty for all the wrong things. And if we're thirsty for the wrong things, we'll find that it all is the same as it was last year and the year before and the year before. And we will never be satisfied. But God, seated upon his throne, says, I am making everything new. God makes everything new because the old is no more. What he says here in Revelation 21 is, the old is gone. A new heaven and new earth has come. The first heaven and the first earth have passed away. They are gone. They are destroyed. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. The earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Everything that is here will be gone. So, brothers and sisters, as we start this year, let's not be thirsting for more of this. It's all going to be gone. It's not worth pouring our hearts and our energy and our sweat and our lives out for. What this world offers us, we've already been told, it's going to be totally destroyed. So what do we do with what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that there's nothing new under the sun, and God says there is a new heaven and a new earth, because this new heaven and a new earth that he's creating is not under the sun. It's under the Son of God. There is no sun, we're told in Revelation chapter 22, in that new heaven and earth, because God himself is the light. Everything in this world is going to go the way of this world. It will be totally destroyed. But there is something new. I am making something new, God says. Now, I've heard some people say, if God is making something new, and he said this to John in maybe 90 AD, and God has been working on this for now 2,000 years, if he made this world in 6 days, think of what this new heaven and new earth is. God doesn't live in time. He's not caught up in time. So I don't think it's a matter of God taking 2,000 years to make this. But what God does want us to understand is, he is, present tense, making everything new. And then what he says there in verse 6 of chapter 21, it is done. Those words echo what Jesus said on the cross, don't they? It is finished. You see, the payment has been completely paid. So what God is doing new in that heaven, new heaven and new earth, has already begun at the cross. It's not only something we're looking forward to in the future. It's something that we're hanging on to right now because Jesus has begun that work in us. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we have already become new creations. That new work of God has already begun. God has promised this new work all the way back in the Old Testament. Isaiah put it this way, Isaiah 65:17, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or even come into mind." Why does God keep reminding us of this all the way back in Isaiah's time, in John's time, in our time? Why? Because the things that are fill our minds with our New Year's resolutions and all the things we're aiming for, those things are of zero importance in eternity. They are not what we are to live for. So as we start this new year as followers of Jesus Christ, let's lift our minds to what is important. You see, like Jeremiah said way back in Jeremiah chapter 2, we studied these when we went cover to cover. We studied these verses, spent quite a bit of time here. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." There's the living water that God wants to offer us free of charge. "They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And instead, they have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." What we aim for, what we have as goals in our lives, what we want to accomplish is so often what God is going to completely destroy. And so from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, God says, "I want you to get your minds off of this temporary stuff that I'm going to just simply wipe out. There's something of far greater importance. There's a living water that I want you to be thirsty for, and I'm going to give it to you at no cost to you, at complete, immense cost to me with Jesus on the cross." What is the essence of that newness that God is going to offer us? Well, we see it in Revelation 21, specifically in verses 2 and 3. If you still get your Bibles open there, look at verses 2 and 3. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This new city, which is described in Ezekiel, it's described in Revelation, it's a place where God's people live, but it's more than a place. This new city is really the people of God because it's adorned as a bride for God. God doesn't want a city, whether it's made of concrete or of gold, as his bride. We are his bride. And so this new city, these people of God, are coming down from heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There's intimacy there. "And I heard a loud voice," verse 3, "from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people.'" God himself will be with them as their God. What is the essence of this new heaven and earth? It's the presence of God with his people. God is going to be dwelling with us. The essential characteristics of everything that's new is that God will be dwelling with us. He will be present with us. God with us and us with him. It's fellowship with God, something that God created in the Garden of Eden. Remember how God would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? They lost that when they sinned and rebelled against God. When Jesus came to earth, John chapter 1, verse 14, what are we told? He came to dwell among us, to tabernacle among us. Why does he use that word, to tabernacle among us? Because the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the temple in the Old Testament, was a picture of God dwelling among his people, always right in the center of his people as they went through the wilderness of their lives. The tabernacle was in the center because it was the representation of God's presence with them. Jesus came to tabernacle among us, to dwell with us. John chapter 16, Jesus is going back to heaven, and what does Jesus say? "I will not leave you alone. I will send you a helper, a comforter, and he will dwell with you. He will be with you." And in that new heaven and new earth, as the bride comes down and is presented to God himself, as God is the husband and we are the bride, the beauty of that new heaven and new earth is that we will dwell with him. So what is it that we are to thirst for? To dwell in the presence of God. Every moment of 2023, to walk in the presence of God. Every time we're making a decision whether or not we're going to do something, I am doing this in the presence of God, because that is the newness that has come through my forgiveness. When Jesus died for me on the cross, the Holy Spirit now dwells within me. One day in a reality that I can't even imagine, what has been begun in my life right now is going to explode into a reality of a whole new heaven and a whole new earth in which I dwell in the presence of God. It's the presence of God, brothers and sisters, that will banish every tear. It's the presence of God that will banish death. It's the presence of God that will banish mourning and crying and pain. And so right after he says he will dwell with them, they will be his people, God himself will be with them as their God, that's when verse 4 comes. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither will be their mourning, crying, pain anymore. The former things have passed away. In the presence of God, all of that is gone. You see, it's not that when we get to heaven, God's going to somehow remove all of these things from us. The presence of God leaves no space for pain. The presence of God leaves no space for crying, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The presence of God leaves no space for death, because God is life. And when we are in his presence, everything is new. So we can ask ourselves, yeah, but that's all way out there in Revelation. It's not way out there just in Revelation. You go all the way back to the Old Testament. We already looked at Jeremiah, but Ezekiel 48 and verse 35, the last verse of Ezekiel. If you study the book of Ezekiel, it is an amazing picture where at one point, because of the sin of the people, God's glory, his presence, is removed from the temple and disappears. And God says, I will send judgment on my people because of their sin. But then Ezekiel sees the glory of God returning to the temple. And at the last chapter, in the last verses, there is this new heaven and new earth and a new Jerusalem, which is all the way back in Ezekiel. It's not just in Revelation. And Ezekiel ends with these words describing that new Jerusalem. And the name of the city from that time on shall be, look at this name, the Lord is there. Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. You see, new heaven and new earth is not about streets of gold. It's not about eating everything we want to eat and not worrying about getting fat. It's about the presence of God. The name of the city is Yahweh Shammah. God, the Lord, is there. This new creative work that we look forward to and we anticipate has already begun. It has begun in our lives, because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has what? It's passed away. Behold, the new has come. God has already begun this work, because he's promised to be with us, to never leave us, to always be present with us. So as we step into this new year, brothers and sisters, let's not settle for the things of this earth that are simply going to be wiped away by God one day. Let's aim to walk in his presence now, because it's possible to do it right now. One day it's going to explode in a reality that is so vivid and so amazing we can't even comprehend it. But we begin right now, living every moment in His presence, taking every breath in His presence, speaking every word in His presence. How does this apply to us today? How do we keep this from simply having our head in the clouds? Well, the old has passed away. So let's not live as if it hasn't passed away. God's word in verse 6 of chapter 21 of Revelation, it is done. From God's perspective outside of time, it is done. The old is done. It's finished. So let's live that way. Let's not invest all of our time in what doesn't matter. Let's invest our lives in what matters. We have these words in Colossians chapter 3. And sometimes we don't realize how important it is to live these words out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, what should we do? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the throne. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. Everything of this earth is wiped away. God is going to burn it up. It's going to be gone. And Isaiah says, we won't even ever think about it again. So let's not put our minds on it now. Colossians 3, seek the things above. Set your minds on things above. Verse 5 tells us this, Colossians 3, verse 5. So put to death what is earthly in you. And he goes on to list a whole bunch of sins, our appetites of this world. Put it to death. Because everything in this world is going to be torn away from us in the end. It's going to be burned up anyway. Verse 12, put on then, as Christ's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Listen to what we're supposed to wear in the presence of God. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all of these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Why do we put those things on? Because those are things from above. A new year is beginning. But everything that we're going to experience in 2023 here on earth has already been happening in 2022. It happened in the times of the preacher of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. But we don't live under the sun. We live under the Son of God. And under the Son of God, everything is new. So let's live in His presence this year. Let's set our minds on things above. The new has come, so let's live like it. It's already come in our lives as followers of Jesus. Let's live like it. Knowledge of the future, of our eternal home in heaven, gives us hope to continue through the tough times right now. There will be tough times in this next year. But we are not living for this world. We're already living for the world to come in the presence of God. So knowledge of what is coming gives us strength to persevere through this year. This year, let's live in the new that Jesus has created, not the old that's already been destroyed. Let's consciously live in His presence. He's promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. So let's walk with Him every single breath this year. And let's be thirsty for Him. Be thirsty for Him. Jesus said, I am the living water. Anything else will leave us thirsty. Everything else makes us to come back for more. But when we thirst for Him, He promised we would be filled. Will you this year thirst for Jesus? How do you do that? Spend time with Him. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. Spend time alone with Jesus. Walk every moment in His presence. When you get up in the morning, say to the Lord, I want to walk with you today. Every decision I make of what I'm going to read, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to spend all of my time working on, I want to do it with you. And if I can't do it with you, I don't want to do it. Because it's the presence of God that makes everything new. During this month of January, as we've done for the last few years, we're going to look at our mission statement as a church. We are committed to worship, to go in Jesus Christ as a house of prayer. And we want to do that as we look at how do we live 2023, not in the things and for the things that are already destroyed by God, but in the presence of God. And if we live in the presence of God this year as a congregation, forgiving one another, wearing love, putting on love that holds everything together, we will live a life filled with joy, the same kind of joy we're going to have in heaven. We begin to experience it now. The new city is named this: the Lord is there. Yahweh Sama. Let's live there this year. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. So thankful that because of what you've done for us on the cross, we can live in your presence. And Lord, we as human beings see this world around us, and it holds so much glitter and so many things that we aim for. But you have reminded us that all of it is broken cisterns. It never satisfies. And then when we grow older, we will realize that there is nothing new under this sun. But help us not to live under this sun, but under the Son of God, in your presence. As one day we will do that in the new heaven and the new earth, in that new city that is named, the Lord is there. You are here in us as your children right now. Help us to walk and live in your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.